Voices that inform, music that inspires. This is WMNF Tampa.
Hi from NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. With the Senate working through the weekend looking for a way to bring the government shutdown to an end, millions of Americans are planning for an uncertain future around federal food benefits. The Supreme Court ruled Friday night that the Trump administration can continue withholding some funding, at least for now. Blake Farmer of member station WPLN has more from a drive-through food distribution site in rural Tennessee.
Cars and trucks started lining up hours before the start time, some before dawn. Crystal Tipton is among the more than 41 million Americans who rely on the benefits. She says she's never used a food pantry before.
You have to cut back on everything. I mean, I think it's the way it's going to be for a while.
The nonprofit that organized this food distribution, called One Gen Away, has seen demand spike by more than 300%. It's been adding pop-up sites in the region over the last 2 weeks, but organizers say they're running out of food and turning people away. For NPR News, I'm Blake Farmer in Hickman County, Tennessee.
Overseas, Ukrainian cities are facing power cuts of between 8 and 16 hours after massive Russian strikes on the energy grid wiped out power-generating capacity. Russia has intensified attacks on energy infrastructure each fall since its full-scale invasion more than 3 years ago. NPR's Joanna Kakissis reports from Kyiv.
Ukraine's state-owned electricity generating company, Centrenergo, said that the Russian attacks had reduced capacity to, quote, zero at thermal power plants. Foreign Minister Andriy Sybiha said that Russian drones also targeted two nuclear power substations deep in western Ukraine. Every fall, Russia steps up attacks on Ukraine's power and heating grid to force a harsh winter on Ukrainian cities. Many Ukrainians have adapted by using backup energy storage devices and generators in their homes and businesses. This year, Ukraine has attacked Russian oil depots and refineries to weaken what it calls Russia's war machine. Joanna Kakissis, NPR News, Kyiv.
Nearly a million Filipinos have been evacuated from their homes as Super Typhoon Fung Wong batters the Philippines, less than a week after another typhoon killed more than 200 people, as Michael Sullivan reports.
Defense Secretary Gilberto Teodoro Jr. urged more people in the storm's expected path to evacuate while they still can, saying it could affect much of the country, including Metro Manila and Cebu, the province that bore the brunt of last week's Typhoon Kamagi. Fung Wong is already knocking out power, with sustained winds of 115 miles per hour and gusts up to 140.
A powerful earthquake rattled northern Japan today. It struck off the coast with a magnitude of 6.9. There are two nuclear plants in the area, but public broadcaster NHK says no abnormalities have been reported. This is NPR. Thousands of people attended a funeral today for the last Israeli-American hostage returned from Gaza. After being held there for more than 2 years, his remains were returned to Israel last week as part of a U.S.-brokered ceasefire. NPR's Itai Stern reports from Tel Aviv.
A military cantor sang prayers for Itai Chen, an Israeli-American soldier who was killed in combat on October 7, 2023, then taken into Gaza by Hamas-led militants. President Trump's special envoy, Steve Witkoff, gave a eulogy by video saying Chen reminded him of his own late son, Andrew.
I've learned that life's truest measure is not in its length, but in the love that it ignites.
Chen's father, Ruby, thanked Presidents Biden and Trump for their efforts to bring home his son's remains. And he vowed to hold Israeli government accountable for not doing enough to bring more hostages home alive. He noted that 42 soldiers and civilians abducted to Gaza died during their time in captivity. Itai Stern, NPR News, Tel Aviv.
Israel has received the remains of another deceased hostage. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's office said in a statement that the remains were handed over to Israeli forces by the Red Cross today. There has been no formal identification, but earlier Hamas said it would turn over the body of an Israeli soldier killed in Gaza more than a decade ago. The remains are to be examined by Israel's National Forensic Institute for Identification. I'm Giles Snyder. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Cy Sims Foundation. Since 1985, supporting advances in science, education, and the arts towards a fairer, more just, and civil society. More information is available at cysimsfoundation.org.
WMNF Tampa and WMNF HD1. Building a better world, one important news story and great song at a time.
Tampa Bay, get ready. The Grammy-nominated powerhouse, Southern Avenue, is back. Don't miss this award-winning band live at Skipper's Smokehouse. They blend Memphis soul, modern blues, gospel, and funk into a sound that's completely their own. Fresh off their deeply personal new album, Family, Southern Avenue delivers raw emotional power. Says they are jaw-dropping and not to be missed. Come dance, sing, and feel every beat. When Southern Avenue plays, you don't just listen. You become part of the family.
There's so much love to go around. So much love around, round, round.
Southern Avenue, January 21st at Skipper's Smokehouse. Doors at 7, music at 8. Tickets and info at WMNF.org.
It's time for another Wavemakers Live, WMNF's new quarterly speaker series featuring thought-provoking conversations in front of a live audience. Our guest will be William Osceola, an elected leader of the Miccosukee tribe, which has called the Florida Everglades home for centuries. 50 years ago, the Miccosukees helped stop the construction of a giant airport in the heart of the Everglades, a legal battle that led to the creation of the Big Cypress Preserve. Today, the tribe is at the forefront of another legal battle, this time against Alligator Alcatraz, the immigrant concentration camp built in the preserve on the very land where the airport would have gone. Please join us Thursday, November 20th, at the Commodore in Ybor City for Miccosukee Unconquered. Doors open at 7, and the discussion starts at 7:30. Go to WMNF.org for details.
What if we told you there is a way for you to spend your Wednesday midday listening to real stories by people like you? Individuals who inspire by sharing their lives. Hi, I'm Mario Nunez.
And I'm Joe King Carter. Consider this your personal invitation to join us each week at the intersection of community and culture.
Listen in every Wednesday at noon on WMNF 88.5 or stream live from anywhere in the world at WMNF.org, where previous shows are also available.
Until then, be good to each other and remember
to keep the conversation going.
Now you don't have to wait till 9 a.m. to hear Democracy Now! You can hear it every morning at 8 a.m. on our HD3 channel, The Source. You can hear it online at WMNF.org/listen. That's Democracy Now!, weekday mornings at 8 a.m. on WMNF's The Source and 9 a.m. on our main channel. And it's replayed on The Source at 5 p.m. every weekday afternoon.
Right now, you're tuned to the Sunday Forum right here, WMNF Tampa, Walter L. Smith II, and Annie Miles.
Excuse me, Dougie Fresh.
Yes!
Have you ever seen a show with fellas on the mic with 1 minute rhymes that don't come out right? They bite.
They never write.
That's not polite. Am I lying?
No, you're quite right.
Well, tonight, on this very mic, you're about to hear,
we swear, the best star rappers of the year. So,
cheerio.
Yeah.
Scream bravo.
Also, if you didn't know,
hey, yo, Tug.
What?
Put your ballets on.
Yo, Rick, I was about to
6 minutes that your friends your own.
Yes. Yes. Do it. I can tell you right now what Annie's doing. Annie is up there whopping. Right? Right? She prepping, she whopping. Yes, 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 yes.
Early morning,
getting it. Yes, and there are people right now, folks, to the sound of my voice and the sound of this song right now. There are people on the way to church right now.
Yep.
Holy dancing.
If you are calling to the show, just admit it. Call to the show. If you don't call to the show, I know it. I understand. We just gonna call you out anyway. We know.
We already know what's going on.
We know what's going on. That's right. That's right. Let me tell you something, man. Keep it going. Let me tell you, man. This is real hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
This is real hip hop.
It's come a long way.
Yeah. It's come a long way.
Yes.
But we talked a little earlier. We spoke a little earlier about how hip hop is the first time in a long time. And in how many years now?
30-some years
that hip hop has not been on the top 20 or top 40 in terms of music, mainstream music, right? Yet you see it in commercials, you see it on, you see it everywhere, right? On radio, you hear it on radio, you see it on commercials, you hear it on commercials, on TV shows and movies and stuff like that. It's undeniable. And listen, let me tell you. You know, you see the little white girls now on social media dancing and putting out challenges to the black girls. You got 24 hours to respond. I was like, what are y'all doing?
I'm not gonna lie.
Don't do this.
The challenge culture nowadays is crazy.
Right. Listen, let me tell you, there was one evening where you had a bunch of white women who came together. It's like a whole dance troupe of them who like black men. Right, and they're all dancing and putting out challenges to black women to dance, to outdo them. I'm like, what in the world are we getting to here? Is this what we're doing?
This is what happens when you bring them to the barbecue, man.
Oh my god! Oh my gosh! Let me tell you, man. This is the Sunday Forum. This is Walter L. Smith, the host, along with the members of the Fourth Estate Crew. Our guest this morning is local hip hop artist Solo Rain. He's soon to be international. He's on Spotify. What other outlets you on, man? What other outlets you on?
Every outlet, man. I'm on Amazon, Apple Music, Spotify, Deezer, Pandora. I'm on everything. Everything you can think of. YouTube Music. I didn't even know that was a thing. They just told me about this like last week. YouTube Music now has their own streaming service.
Listen, dude. I was surprised to find out when I checked and found out that we were on Spotify. Remember that movie? Remember that? This is before you came on, and I'm sitting up and I'm like, yo, what is this I'm hearing about Spotify? What is? And I know about Spotify, and I was like, wait a minute. Are you telling me that we're on Spotify? Yes. Holy crap. How did I not know that? Right? And I didn't. I did not know it. And I'm excited. I was very excited. I am excited about that fact. Now, fast forward, I see this man right here, Solo, on Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, he's on all of these outlets. You know, he's doing it. He's doing his thing, man.
Oh, he was on the song on that one.
Oh, man, he's doing the damn thing. He's doing the damn thing.
So you get here.
Oh, man, let me tell you. So we're talking about what happened in this segment now. We are going to get into the politics, and it's tied into hip-hop now, the days, right? And so my question to you now is, we talked about the fact that this, just like we said, in past 35 years or so, it's the first time that we haven't had any rap songs on the top 40 mainstream list.
Yeah, that was crazy.
What's going on?
So as I was saying to you, I feel like it's just because everything sounds the same now. It's overpopulated with the trap sound, the triplet flows, the auto tunes, and everybody's pushing the same exact message. People are saying the same thing. It's just coming out of a different mouth.
Right.
It's the same thing. So there's no place on the charts for these people to compete because they don't have any competition. If I sign 10 artists right now, and they all sound the same, chances are neither 10 of these people are going to be on the charts because y'all don't sound different from each other. There's no competition. So y'all are definitely just going to be sharing streams. Y'all might have a 10 million streams as a conglomerate between 10 separate artists.
Right.
And people are like, oh, why is that? Why is that? Why is that?
Y'all sound white.
Because all y'all sound the same. Y'all all overpopulating with autotune.
Let me ask you this question. Are we seeing a... Because there's been this integration, if you will, right, this merger between popular music, pop music as we call it, and R&B even, and hip hop being rap being put into the mainstream music as we know it, R&B, pop, and so forth, even country, right. Is that what we're seeing, are we seeing an evolution to the point that we're not being knocked off necessarily, but we're coming into ourselves, but there's some evolution that's happening over here in this other side here?
I feel like part of it is an evolution and we're coming into ourselves, but I feel like it's also a rebirth of hip hop, because I feel like more people are starting to want what hip-hop and rap used to be, where it was actual competition and people sounded different.
Right.
They got tired of this wave that was the trap thing where everybody sounds the same and they're saying the same things. They want what got us here.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was saying, like, you got KRS-One, you got Tupac, you got freaking Method Man and Redman, Slick Rick.
Like, bro. The Roots, especially the Roots has done outstanding.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, man. They're,
so much.
Wow.
Speaking the truth. Yes.
Even.
I want to say this also to your question, also adding to what Rain said. Let's think about when hip hop was really real, right? And I'm talking about, like, not just KRS-One, I'm talking about the Fugees.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Nas.
Oh, yeah, the Fugees.
All the ones that was really there that was. I mean,
Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five.
Yeah,
that was the first time you really see. On. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they turned rap. They turned poetry into rap. You know what I'm saying? It was real and it was relevant.
Right.
It was relevant to what was actually happening across different states, across different countries, and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. About what little black boys was going through that was trying to become young black men.
There was
men.
Politics.
The young girl that was going through stuff, trying to find who they are. I mean. That's when it was real. That's what made us happy.
But I think the access to it was what it was back then. There wasn't, contrary to popular belief, there wasn't as much access to those songs, those albums back then. We can call them albums now, right? That age.
Right, because they were trying to sell out their cars and stuff. Remember the
right.
tapes and everything?
Like, right. But it was ours. It was ours. It was ours. Yeah.
And then this integration came where now, the white artists wanted to integrate, these hip-hop artists into their songs. Mm-hmm. And that's when we started mingling one another. And then we started losing it. We started losing it because the culture and everything was changing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the trap music, and don't get me wrong, I love some TTI music and all that stuff, but when the trap music and all that stuff came, we lost what was the foundation of hip-hop. The origination of it.
Right.
And now we're into everything. We're in country. We're in all these kind of different arenas. And now we're just pivoting to coming back. Okay, let's come back to where we, you know, our, as you said, our roots. Let's get back to what's real, because it's happening again. We're losing ourselves. These men are forgetting who they are. These women are forgetting who they are, their foundation, their purpose. And this next generation that we have coming up, what do they have to look for? What's inspiring them now? And that's why I said I don't want to hear more of the trap music and all that stuff. So these young girls are running around with just makeup, just plastic on their damn faces. It blows my freaking mind.
And they want to go spend all their money on surgeries to fit in.
Exactly.
Unbelievable, man. And I think, you know, I love Lil' Kim. I remember when she came out, right? I think we all remember, especially, listen, let me
tell you. This ain't Lil' Kim's fault, though.
No. Lil' Kim, please don't think that, okay? Don't think that.
Because you will get New York smoke.
But I do think she got caught up. I do think to a degree that she got caught up in it. But let it change her to a degree, right? And I might be wrong about this. So, again, I say, Lil' Kim, don't come sending your people for me. Just know, I am still a big fan. I'm still a fan.
In the house with you, I got your back.
Right, thank you. So you know, Brooklyn is here. So when I think about the fact that, you know, remember everybody had the poster. Everybody had a Lil' Kim poster. You had it, Mabili. Don't lie. You had it.
You'd be surprised at what
you
I
had it, Rain. Yeah, you know.
I got a Lil' Kim poster in my office right now, I swear, hanging over my desk.
The original, right?
The original.
Okay. So everybody had, but that was the original. Then we had Foxy Brown. And all but they were all going through what we call the hip hop feminine revolution. Mm-hmm. Right? Because they were fighting back against the bad nomenclature, if you will, about women.
Walter, are you saying y'all had the Il Na Na poster? Is that the one y'all?
Oh yes, yes. Lord have mercy, I had it. Yes, I had it. We were in college. We were undergrad, and when it came out, and we sit around just sitting there looking at the thing, just as drunk as we could be, just looking at it, and we just sitting there staring at it. I'm admitting some things, and I hope my mother's not listening right now. But I'm praying my mother's not listening to what I just said. But somebody's gonna tell her I said it. But no, we're sitting there and we're looking at this stuff. But we recognized, as hip hop heads and jazz heads that we recognized that there was a revolution that was taking place, a feminine revolution at that time. But then something happened to that, and it got out of hand.
Well,
right?
Just interject.
Please.
What happened?
Please.
What happened was capitalism. Because it became the need to be a cookie cutter kind of artist where, like he said, everybody sounded the same. And when women were brought in, everybody looked the same. Because in the beginning, we were conscious. We were underground. We were rebels. You know, we were saying things that were out of bounds. We were the counterculture.
MC Light. MC Light,
right. MC Ren. What about MC Ren?
Wow.
So, but because capitalism say you all have to sound alike, you all have to give these negative messages that promotes the materialism of society, and that's all you need to be about.
Right. Right,
and
exactly.
A lot of people fell for that.
So there was a corruption. There was definitely a corruption of it, of the industry. The industry as we know it got involved and messed it all up, I think. Right, Rain, thoughts?
That's exactly what happened. And another funny thing, since we're talking about the industry getting involved, there are three record labels that reported a loss of $170 million in 1 year pushing these artists. And it's mainly because of the legal cases that their artists are getting involved in. But this is what they pushed. And they pushed it because of the money it was making. But now that the feds are cracking down on some of these artists who are pushing these images and these stigmas and actually being parts of gangs. And
they're getting RICOs.
Yeah, they're catching RICOs from their music. You got these labels that just labels be signing 50 artists a year that all sound like this. And out of those 50, 30 of them just got locked up and they just lost all their money. You just gave these people $2-3 million deals and they all locked up. Yeah, they all locked up. They ain't even dropped their album yet.
Because they literally in social media posing with the guns, and they literally talk about the crimes they committed. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me?
Word for word.
You just basically told on yourself word for word how the crime went, how y'all got away with it. And then you're on social media with the guns and the money in your hand. Like,
Well, that's not always true stories, though. A lot of it is not true. It's just reinforcing the negative stereotypes because that's what was demanded of them at that time.
And that's where it goes back to her talking about the cookie cutter artists and just letting anybody in. Like, that's like, I knew there was a change when Post Malone came about.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
When I first heard Post Malone, I swore that was a brother. I swore it was a brother.
Yeah.
And then I went on YouTube and I looked at a music video. I was like, ain't no way. Ain't no way.
Well, the same thing happened to R&B. Same thing happened to R&B as well. You had people R&B, that were out there and I was like, whoa, wait a minute. That's a white dude.
But R&B though, back then, like, dang, what was the... I can't remember.
Marie.
I think his name
Tina
was
Marie.
I think his name was like John B or something.
John B.
Bro,
yes.
When John B, bro, yes. I used to love that man's music.
Yeah.
I watched one video and I was like, yo, he sounds just like us.
Right.
Sounds just like it was the craziest thing. But back then, like he had to fight for that spot.
Right.
You wasn't coming up here with no Teddy Pendergrass. You wasn't coming up here with,
no,
with yeah.
No,
you wasn't com- you well, wasn't I coming mean, up here with the Isley Brothers and Joe.
No. Absolutely
not. Eminem broke ground. They couldn't believe it. Eminem broke ground, and I mean, we just adopted him. It was a done deal with him.
You know what's crazy?
With Dre and everything.
Yeah.
Hey.
And what's crazy?
And his lyrics was real. Even though it was about his life, it was about, you know, the drugs and all that kind of stuff. But it was real. I mean, he came with it. He came with it raw too.
And a lot of our people hate to admit, like, a lot of things in common with Eminem's music. Eminem literally had to establish himself. Like, this man fought against, like me and Walter were talking about earlier. Back then, hip-hop was like an actual competition where you had to stand out for somebody to actually listen to you. You wasn't just coming out here and people like, oh, yeah, I'm a jam your stuff. No, you really had to come with something back then.
Yeah.
And he actually had to break through and fight to solidify his spot in hip-hop. And a lot of people hate to see, like, the similarities in his lifestyle. Eminem came from the same place. He just came from a different area of that place. We got the hoods. They got trailer parks.
Right.
Come on. That's
right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
This man went through abuse with his mom's boyfriend. Same thing that we do. When I grew up, my mom's ex-boyfriend used to beat the crap out of us.
Hey.
You watch 8 Mile, he was going through the same thing. Talked about the same thing.
Yeah, when I watched 8 Mile, I can imagine scenes from the class war in the United States, you know? So, and I think that's why he identified.
And then the stuff that he does for the black community. Did you know that this man got, like, when he did the freestyle against Donald Trump, they banned him from BET?
Mm-hmm.
I just recently found out 2 months ago that BET Black Entertainment Television got sold to a white man 6 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
I just recently found out about that. And I'd be watching the BET Awards still faithfully, and I was trying to figure out what was different. And then I found out 2 months ago that they got sold to a white man. I was like, how you sell Black Entertainment to a white person? That's crazy.
But wait, that's happening all over. These products that we're purchasing that's supposed to be for black people, they're owned by white companies now.
And it's insane.
They're owned by white companies now. And this is what I'm saying. We're being strict. We're being strict and they don't even realize it. Yeah?
That's right. So, I mean, yeah, this is real stuff. This is what happens. Now, let's talk politics. Because this is politics, actually, because it bleeds over into the political realm. What's happening in our communities and things like that, and what's happening in terms of SNAP, the EBT. All right, so let's start with this
that
right
is
here.
Crazy.
I'm going to tell you, I am old enough, all of us, but you're not old enough to remember this right here, so you wouldn't know this.
You about to talk about EBT when they were little paper checks, the color checks?
Not that. No. You caught the back end of that one.
I did.
The government cheese.
Nah,
government cheese.
You went way back.
Yeah. So, Annie, you remember it. Mabili, you remember it, and I remember it. That was before you were born.
It was a big block of cheese.
and it was good, too.
Those were the best cheese sandwiches, though. I'm trying to tell you, boy. That's when cheese
and milk is
great forever.
What?
Yes.
If you know, okay.
She's from New York, so and she said it was the best cheese sandwich. I
got to
believe that.
I'm about to tell you. So if you are listening to the sound of my voice here on the Sunday Forum, if you know something about that government cheese, call in 813-239-9663. 813-239-9663. That's bringing a little levity to the EBT thing. That's happening right now, and the SNAP issue that's happening right now in the United States. Hey, listen.
But I do want to throw in before we move on that, you know, one of the emailers did remind us that that the Democrats did offer a vote to reopen the government. Schumer offered the Senate a proposal to simply add a one-year extension to the health care affordability, and the Republicans have said, we don't want it. We don't care.
I did read that as well. He sure enough did. He asked for an extension for our health care. That's what they're holding out for. And I do want to be clear before we piggyback on what Mobility said. Understand something. So again, this to me is no longer a Democrat-Republican issue. However, what the Democrats are saying is, we want the government open, but we also want to make sure our American people have their health care. So he's asking for an extension of that because it's going up like crazy. So what they're holding out for is still for our benefit, and the Republicans are trying to make it seem like we're trying, or the Democrats are trying to keep the government closed, and that is not the case. So again, read individuals, read listeners, pay attention to what they're actually doing. Right. I just want to say that. And I just want to tell Rain, I know you don't remember EBT like that, but yes, I do remember when it had faces. It was actually paper dollars that they were giving out for food stamps. Okay?
And they were different colors.
EBT card, right.
It was like blue. Monopoly money.
Yeah.
They gave you a whole
coupons. I remember my mama sending me to the little corner store to get sandwiches with it. So you caught the back end of it, bro. So if you know about this right here, call in 813-239-9663. Our guest this morning is Solo Rain.
Ski!
Right here on the Sunday Forum. And we are talking politics and hip-hop. We're talking politics and hip-hop. And from a local perspective, Rain is very, you know, we've enjoyed this conversation with you, man, and what we're talking about is very critical. Uh-huh. So while we're at it, we're gonna play a little bit of stuff that we got right now. What we got, Mobili?
Proceed.
Oh, the Roots.
And
proceed.
Walter,
yes,
Walter. As we talk about how hip hop, you know, connects with politics. Remember how I got started with Bush? When who was it that said George Bush don't like black people?
Right.
When Kanye was lucid.
Oh my God! Wow.
Remember, it started
we
with
need that Kanye
started
back.
With,
yeah, we do.
It started with Ice Cube with the police and the 187. So that's when hip hop and
Gorillaz in the Mist
started coming together.
Exactly. Gorillaz in the Mist. Yeah, that was my favorite. Yeah. Man, that was my favorite song right there, boy. Gorillaz in the Mist. You couldn't take me off that song, bro. That was my song, bro. Hey, I don't even think there's a clean version of that song.
Probably not.
I don't think there's a radio version of that song. There's not a radio version of that song at all. But my mom took my tape. I would have took it too.
I would have been scared to have my.
I'd
be scared to get that kind of music to my kids right now.
Wow, man! Wow! But I will tell you, it helped to shape who we are.
It did.
As we are right now.
It sure did.
So listen, we're gonna play.
What was the other one from L.A.? I Hate the Police. What's his name? The one that passed away.
Oh man, Eazy-E.
Eazy-E,
yeah. Yeah, man.
So that's when they started seeing that black people getting so big and hip hop was just expanding so much. That's now it's becoming dangerous.
Absolutely.
That's
when
we start
integrating with the politics.
We've always been dangerous to whites, to the ruling class.
That's right, my
brother.
That's right.
Black codes. Remember that? Maybe somebody should do a rap about the black codes.
So, Rain.
I got you.
Okay.
I wrote 17 songs in the last 4 days. I got you. I'm all right.
Let's get it.
All right.
Hey, man. Listen, so we're about to play The Roots. And proceed right here on the Sunday Forum.
I shall proceed and continue to rock the mic. I shall proceed and continue.
Call in 813-239-9663.
Proceed and continue to rock the mic. I shall proceed and continue to rock the mic. Just think. What if you could just blink yourself away? Just think. What if you could just blink yourself away? Jeff X can rock the mic with tooth decay. I be the 5'7", residing at the Mecca Rest address in South Section. Used to cut class in the infinite pursuit of ass back in 86. With the chicks, I was a child, was a boy. Raised in the cellar with the rhythm like Ella. Walk the mega type streets to the subway where I lay. Till the train stopped in a nigga out. The 1993, and I shall proceed and continue to rock the mic. I still going down, baby. 10 years to rock the mic. I shall proceed. Continue to rock the mic.
Early in the morning, I mean early afternoon. Line start to dash. I can make a whole lake of fish start to splash. I can make Conan in the Titans class. And I can make Metallica and Guns N' Roses thrash. Used to smash crash parties like I was disturbed. Used to make plots against the herringbone herd. But now, all I do disperse the verb. And like a nerd, I can make you say, he's superb. Worded perfect. Never ever shall you misinterpret. I move styles like Bows, and now you know I'm worth it. Direct from Philly, the land where niggas scheme. So you know I got that sheen in my gleam.
I shall proceed and continue to rock the mic. I shall proceed and continue to rock the mic.
And continue to rock the mic. I shall proceed. Yes, the Roots. Let me tell you, man, when I was in South Africa, boy, we used to bump this thing, bro. The Roots was it, you know, and we were it. Let me tell you, the hip-hop scene in South Africa was crazy. Crazy, because everybody was trying to emulate us and our hip hop scene. Thank you for being like that background, man. That it was something, man.
Yeah,
the international hip hop scene.
And I'm not going to say it stemmed from America, because it didn't. The actual root of hip hop did come from Africa. For the people who haven't indulged that far into the research, but America definitely pushed it further than what it was intended to be, as far as like involving the politics and uniting people and pushing messages out there, like we were talking about with New York earlier, with like people like Tupac, Ice Cube, NWA as a whole, like that was a revolution in itself.
Oh, yeah.
Because that definitely gave our communities a voice, you know, with stuff that we typically wouldn't say or things that we typically wouldn't do. That's they did the complete opposite. They are like, okay, y'all not gonna do it, we'll do it for y'all. And then once they see that stuff, and you know, they doing these shows, they're getting this radio play, they see they're getting big, everybody's following suit.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, F the police, we don't need this police brutality.
right.
So
right.
Or get out of our neighborhoods, like stuff like that. Like even when it came down to the beef, there was never a time back then where hip hop wasn't about a revolution or a politic. Even when they was beefing with each other, they never took that out on the community. The community knew it was beef, but the community also knew like this stuff was getting pushed. Like there's stuff bigger than this.
Right, that's right.
But it all starts with our communities as a whole, bro. We have to do something. And hip hop is finally going back to being what it was.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, that's a good point that he made, because in regards to the beef part, you know, the labels, you know, was pushing the beef because, again, they were more interested in sales. Because back in the day, the battle was one of the beautiful things of hip hop. Because you could be in the street and do a one-on-one battle with one another.
It was about
that was the thing, you know, back then. It wasn't about shooting and killing each other. Yeah, let's battle.
It was an alternative to it.
Of the mind.
It was an alternative.
The labels pushed that and then had them going against one another because, again, instead of looking at the content that was being said and what was being done, they started looking at the monetary value. And once that come into play, a lot of people just lose the vision. And that's what, to me, that's where the vision got lost at. That's my opinion of it.
Well, I also
pushed us battling against one another.
Yeah, I agree, and I also think that that whole East Coast, West Coast rivalry thing was pushed to its zenith, and it didn't need to be. It was pushed commercially. It was pushed by people like Suge Knight, who's now sitting in jail because he became like one of the worst stereotypes.
And he bought into it.
So I think that was a bad episode, a terrible episode that ended up losing people like Tupac, who had a lot to offer in terms of intelligence, in terms of bringing some history. You know, he was doing that, and there were attempts to even weaken his rap, you know. So that was a lot to be desired. But again, sometimes we the fans fell into that. We fell for that East Coast rap, West Coast rivalry.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. You know, so when we talk about EBT, and we talk about SNAP, and we talk about all these subsidies and things like that that are being
talking about inner city blues.
Yeah. You know, I mean, what are your thoughts now on that type of thing? And then we want to talk international stuff. Let's talk about that.
So as far as the food stamps are concerned, that's a different devil in itself, because they're actual people. I know personally of two people. They're disabled. They can't work. So they rely on food stamps and EBT to actually like feed themselves. Like one of them is wheelchair bound. He had lost his leg in a trucking accident about 5 years ago. He was doing trucking for Walmart. So he lives off of his disability and his food stamps. And literally I gave him last month, what I was able to spare was like $180 after I did everything I had to get food. And when we went grocery shopping, I saw just how much $180 could get you. And I was like, yo, you probably gonna eat off of this for like a week.
Is it?
And he was like, yeah. And I was like, how much did you get in food stamps? And he was telling me how much he got and how much he actually relied on it. And I felt like this is too much power to give to one person. Like,
cool.
Just looking at him, because I don't know everybody in the U.S., but just looking at him and what he's going through and knowing that food stamps are cut off for everybody right now.
Right.
I'm like, yo, there's probably a million more people like him that actually are dependent on it. They can't work right now, or, you know, maybe single mothers who need the food stamps to help feed their kids.
Or single fathers.
or single fathers. And then I also figured out from my sister.
Speaking up for the father. There you go, Billy.
For sure.
Got to, man. Got to. And I also found out from my sister that WIC was cut off too. So,
that's crazy, man.
So she lives in Atlanta, and she was talking about how like the Gerber, like a little small can of Gerber is like $40. And
wow.
I was like, yo, nah, that's crazy.
What?
They trying to starve the
that's
kids.
That's a phone bill for some formula.
That's the truth. Now, just imagine
the little can of powder formula, $40.
$180 to help that man, and I bet you for one person he's probably getting what $178 a month from them. I think the max when I did the numbers last was like $234, if that.
Yeah, he was getting like $219 or $218, something like that. But that's still not enough. Like, I didn't know.
It's not.
I should have let him arrange me a list, because he was more, you know, used to doing shopping on a low budget. But I went in there buying what I thought was necessary. So, you know, I bought like ground beef, I bought chicken, I bought some milk. I got him a couple cases of water and some little juice mixes and stuff, some cereal, rice, beans, butter, stuff like that. Just the regular stuff that you go and buy. And he, like when we rung it up, it came out to a little bit over $180. And I thought we did good until I actually started putting the groceries into the trunk. And I was like, y'all came out here with five bags, and I just spent $180-something.
That'd be gone in a week, like you said. Yeah.
Like, just the ground beef. A five-pound pack of ground beef was almost $50. So I was like, this is almost half of the $180 right here.
Right.
Just on 5 pounds of ground beef.
Yeah.
I ain't even buy no eggs, because I already know eggs is expensive.
Mm.
So when I'm talking to him, he was like, yeah, man, this is how I got to live month to month. This is what I've been doing for the past 5 years, so this is kind of messing me up. We went to a couple of pantries. You know it's bad when people don't even want to donate canned goods and stuff to pantries anymore.
Yeah.
Like, my fiance went to a food pantry, and they had a limited amount of food that they could give. There was people that was outside the pantry that were very upset that they couldn't get any food, but the pantry had a limited supply, and a gentleman came out. I guess he ran the pantry, and he was explaining to everybody, nobody's been donating for the past month. Like, the pantries rely on donations from, like, stores and, you know, civilians like us. They didn't even have enough to feed the whole line that was out there waiting to get food from the food pantry.
Wow.
This whole food stamp thing is ridiculous.
And you're probably going to see more stories, as I've been saying, as the ruling class hasn't come up with any main ideas, that this pull yourself up by your bootstraps sermon that you're going to hear. You know, people shouldn't be relying on food stamps as much as they do. But, you know, you can't compare other people to your life, you know, just because you can get out there and grab food from wherever you want to doesn't mean everybody can. And a person in a wheelchair, you know, you could have a store right across the street from you. He's still in the desert. He's still in a food desert because he's got to go through all of this extra struggle just to bring food home.
Just to get the food
home. And then it may not last that long because $180 is a lot of money, but very little food today.
Very little freaking food.
And please understand the reason people are not donating food, because even though at this point they have jobs, remember, with the government shutdown, people are so uncomfortable because they're insecure what's going to happen with this economy. They're trying to save as much as they can as far as being in their cabinets as well. So it's hard. So I can understand why the donations and everything is down. You know, and in regards to the companies and stores donating food, that goes back to the towns and all that kind of stuff, because they're not getting as much transported, you know, like they used to. Because, again, this man in his towns that he's doing, that is just affecting the trucking industry. That's affecting all of these things. And we're not waking up and realizing this. And we just want to keep on pointing fingers when at this point it should not matter as far as a political factor. It shouldn't give a damn whether it's Democrat or Republican. People are hungry. The American people are hungry. They're afraid they're losing their jobs. You know, I'm afraid. Excuse me, Lord, I didn't say that. But I'm conscious and leery of traveling because we have nobody watching the air. Okay? I mean, come on.
They have to work three jobs.
Exactly.
Y'all saw the UPS plane just crashed.
Oh, yeah. Man, listen, bro, listen. But we got a call. We got a caller on here. We also got some more music to be played. We got this Brown Sugar. Everybody's been on the music, the movie Brown Sugar, right?
Yeah, dude, that's an older movie, too.
Yeah, most definitely.
I was watching Brown Sugar around the same time I was watching Jason's Lyric, if anybody knows what Jason's Lyric is.
Right,
Jason's Lyric, yeah. Right.
Texas hip-hop stuff with Tretch and Carl Anthony Payne. That was crazy, man. Listen, Brown Sugar, most definitely. Most Def, man. Wow. Yasiin Bey, right? Mm-hmm. And so we see these things happening in the Congo, right? We see what's happening in America, in Africa, and I think that hip hop can play a big role, you know, and has played a big role in changing some of the things there. You have Akon and people like that who've been a part of the hip hop scene, who've gone over and actually done things in terms of putting in solar power, building development, housing developments, and so forth for the people there in Africa, in various parts of the continent.
The right thing to do when you get rich.
Right. Exactly. So we're gonna address that in a few minutes. But we're going to go to the calls. Please call in. We got Solo Rain right here, local artist right here. Call in. We want to hear from you. 813-239-9663. Please go directly to your question. Caller.
Is this me?
Yes.
Oh, hey. Hey. Y'all done woke me up.
Good morning.
My whole life. Hey, Brother Walt, this is U-Haul's mom, your cute brother.
All right.
I'll be out there at the tailgate thing he got that y'all got going out there today. But the government cheese program, of course I'm 68. Of course I recall
the government cheese, the block.
Well, growing up in upstate New York outside of Harriet Tubman, I was actually born outside of New York, so we just a totally different breed up there. But that program was to supplement hard times for them, okay?
Yeah.
And because there's more of them than us. Mm-hmm. And when these programs started, it was to keep them from starving.
That's right.
But we are here, and we were a part of that program. What I recall about that program the most you had everything. I buy powdered milk to this day. It was good in the cornbread.
It made that cornbread rich, didn't it?
Cornbread tastes so good. I said, I got a secret. That's that powdered milk.
What made that grilled cheese so good?
That's
that
gummy
cheese.
And it has a shelf life of 25 years.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
But touching on that, I mean, we as, because I'm on the ground in Africa, as you know, I'm in Rwanda right now.
How's it going?
I love what's happening in Africa right now.
Yes.
Again, I've said this. Africa don't need the world. The world needs Africa.
Africa, that's right.
But the sleeping giant, okay, it's waking up. I don't know if we're going to see it. I think so, because it's moving kind of expeditiously.
Mm-hmm.
But hip-hop. Let's not forget the pioneer of hip-hop, female artists breaking it through, the Sequence group led by Miss Angie Stone. Okay? Let's not forget that. Us New Yorkers know that.
Yes.
Okay? Hip-hop, and I don't care what the West Coast got to say, the hip-hop came out of New York, baby. The baddest hip-hop artists are from New York.
All right, was it the Boogie Down, or was it Brooklyn?
If only you could see my face right now.
But all my cousins was down in Queens and Bed-Stuy.
Because they wanted to fight now, boy. They fighting over there.
Every summer, and that's where I remember Kumo D, Big Daddy Kane, all these guys.
We used to watch Fresh down here.
Oh, man. I forgot about Fresh. See, you know I'm old. Like,
right? We used to watch Fresh late nights down here in Florida, right? In Tallahassee. Yeah. You come on periodically on NBC late nights. And so Fresh would come on, and we'd watch it. Boy, we'd get together and spend the night at each other's house just to watch it, right? And it was Kool Moe Dee versus dudes from Run DMC. Run DMC. It's
okay.
Kool Moe Dee against Run DMC.
We going back.
Yeah. When Run DMC first came out, before Crush Groove.
More than the average person might learn.
That was before Crush Groove. So you know I'm a hip hop head. Yeah,
well,
man.
I love the show, and we're gonna be all right as Africans, because if you've ever been to Africans, Africa, we are resilient. We're gonna survive. We're gonna make it through all this. What I wish we could accomplish in Mother America, because I'm from Father Africa. Africans stick together. They're not going to see nobody struggling. They fight amongst the chiefs and the kings and the little local villages and all that stuff.
Right.
But the family unit is tight.
Right.
And
that's going to happen.
That's what I want us to do here, because you have a lot of elderly people here who have grown children, and I'm calling some people. I'm calling my family out right now. You got you got family that don't even go sit with Granny. Don't even go sit. And Annie sits there alone praying, because that's what she know to do, and she's still surviving through all her hard times.
Right.
But we as an African unit, we have to pull together and get, because we're strong.
That's right.
That's why they always trying to eliminate us, because they can't beat us on no level. Nothing.
So they're trying to, poison our food.
Honey, my fight getting pretty strong for a 16-year-old warrior.
Hey, there you go. There you go.
Down. Okay?
There you go. There you go.
And we need to stick together. We can shut it down. If we'll shut it down. They need us. We don't need them.
Come on.
Period.
That's
true. And I'm waking it up. Because I'm woke. I work at Delta. I didn't get off till 4 o'clock this morning. But I listen to this morning, and trust and believe them planes are flying. They getting out.
Yes, yes.
I came to work last night. I thought I was going home early. We had more planes.
Right. Ethiopian Air is back on track.
The world didn't stop.
Hey.
Okay? It's all a distraction.
Yes.
But you got to be focused and stay on your game plan. Stay on your mission. Stay focused. Everybody loses focus, and that's how they lose. But I love you guys. I'm so glad I got in today. So happy, because this right here just, I'm good. Oh, that's what I was thinking of. Walter.
Yes, ma'am.
Super Wolf can do it. Who made that? That's my boy.
Stop, man.
Google it. Super Wolf can do it. And please play it for me because that's my inspirational Super old school Wolf rap song. Super Wolf can do it.
God.
Super Wolf. And on Super that note, everybody stay blessed. Agape love to us all, and let's keep pushing through.
All right.
Thank you.
Peace.
Now, I love, while you find that song, I love what, how she said it started with New York. So let me be clear, Walter.
Here it is. So understand,
it's Money Making Manhattan, which is where I'm from, okay? It's the Boogie Down Bronx, okay? And it's Best Die, Do or Die Brooklyn. Okay?
Oh, my God. Here we go.
It's Queen.
And then there's Florida.
Yeah, whatever.
No, not the whatever.
That's why they all moving down here. Everybody in New York moving to Florida.
That's why they come to Florida. Everybody, you notice all the New Yorkers coming down to Florida, specifically Tampa.
We need some progressive New Yorkers because DeSantis invited all them backwards right wing conservative New Yorkers down here.
We need the voter rolls. We need them coming from the boogie down
that's
here.
That's right.
We coming down to help y'all fight. That's like you said. The fight is real. We ain't
scared. We don't need no help. We got the Florida man. This is a whole entity in itself.
That's true.
For you, but don't make me come for you.
We got another caller on here. Let's get to the call. Hey, caller, welcome to the Sunday Forum. Let's go straight to your question. Caller,
hello.
Yes.
Yes. That Kumo D battle was with Kumo D and the LL Cool J.
That was fairly recent. Yeah, there was one.
No, this is back in the when it was Harlem World.
Yes.
I grew up in the Bronx.
That was LL.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But on Fresh, at the club, the TV show, it was Run DMC versus Kumo D, and I can't remember who the other person was. But to that other lady's about the government cheese and the milk. You know about that, huh?
It wasn't nothing like that peanut butter.
The peanut butter.
Yes, it was the peanut butter in the can, boy.
But y'all put me on to some game. I done learned how to make the best cornbread.
Listen, I was born with a silver spoon in my mouth, but I remember I had cousins. I sure had cousins, boy. Yes, sir.
Hey, I like this. The song Super Wolf Can Do It. It comes from the album 40 Acres and a Mule.
Yeah, so, boy.
That, okay. This is it.
Yeah, that's all I had to say. I love y'all's show.
Hey, man. Peace, brother.
Man. Stay blessed.
Thank you, man.
Boogie down.
All of my life, I've been stuck in a crack. If you're white, you're right. If you're black, get back.
Wow.
Your skin may be lighter, quieter by shade. Just one drop of black blood, they call you a spade. An innocent victim brought to this place. Torn from my country and my race. I was a king, she was a queen. Way back then, now never to know what I might have been. Lashes on my back, sweat on my face. Dehumanized to the point of disgrace. Sweating and toiling to clear this land. Only to be treated less than a man. But then one day, the South lost the battle. The smoke had cleared and the dust had settled. Given 40 acres, given a mule. Let the nigger go. You're free, you fool.
Yeah.
Super Wolf can do it.
Hey, listen. We want to thank you for joining us here on the Sunday Forum. Well, Bill, let's go out to something else here. The message. Grandmaster Flash, the Furious Five. Yes, sir. Hey, listen, that is the original. That was the original. Just before Public Enemy. Way before Public Enemy, right? Way before Public Enemy. But, man, listen. Rain, thank you, man.
No problem, man.
Come back.
Oh, I definitely will.
Have this, you back. Yes.
This right here was definitely worth me waking up early.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, and put a message out. Let's put a message out to Dolce, please.
Again. Oh, yeah. Hey, Dolce, we've been watching you. We need you to come here. Please stop playing with the Sunday Forum.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. We're here for you, Dolce.
Come back to the city. This is the homeland. Come back.
We love you. We love you, baby. We love you.
Come get on air. We do love you. And one more thing. Shout out to Mr. Edgy Madu out in Africa. Since we were talking about things that are going on in Africa, one of the artists that I'm working with right now is called Edgy Madu from the eastern side of Africa. He just tuned in to the live. Shout out to y'all. Hey, y'all have a blessed day. It was glad to be here.
All right, all right. That man, Solo Rain.
Where is it?
There you go. Right here on the Sunday Forum. Hey, listen. As always, from my voice to the radio waves, to the hearts and the minds of the people, we love you. And there's not a thing you can do about it here on the Sunday Forum. Hey, listen. We have the post, Martin Hootenanny, my man Ed Lehman, about the, with them ones and twos. I see him over there dancing. What's up, Ed? Ed comes out to everything, man. Thank you, Ed, for being out there with us out there protesting. Stand up for the cause. Thank you, Ed. Hey, don't push me. We're close to the edge right here on the Sunday Forum.
Blessings and prosperity.